Molecular Guy TV. Watch and subscribe on YouTube and listen on your podcast platform.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here. Now be sure to watch Chris and Lester Till I Die TV by subscribing on YouTube and following them on social media for all the latest Leicester City news and information. Come on, you foxes!
Strap yourself in, because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Evening, fellow Fox fans. How are we doing? It's me again. Yep. Change the outfit. You got to do it. It looks professional, doesn't it? Get the England kit on. Might have a little game this Sunday. Are we excited?
It's the Euros 2020 with Chris and Lester Till I Die TV.
It is indeed a final. We are in the final, and I'm going to be joined by some people. And at least two of my guests are happy. The third one, yeah, I'm not so sure about, but he's coming in anyway. The one we're having the problems with is the Leicester fan. So let's bring him in. Say good evening to you there, Craig. Looking very splendid with the lights behind you. And we lost you for a minute there.
Yeah, my webcam decided that I was not looking at my best, so decided to stop. Allowed me to get into hair and makeup for 30 seconds and come back.
No problem. It's not just you. The Scottish fan is having a few Wi-Fi problems as well.
It could have been the pre-show abuse you were giving him.
It could have been. Oh, it could have been my singing of "Football's Coming Home Again." That could have affected it. Hey, somebody who's going to give us a big song, I'm sure, is Ankit. Good evening, Ankit. Give us a tune.
No way, you're not getting that from me, Chris. But yes, great to be here and great to be here along with Craig as well. And I'm looking forward to the chat because, like everyone says, football is indeed coming home, and I indeed believe it. You know, you've got to believe it this time.
Ankit, you do a great channel there. Give your channel a shout out.
Thank you, mate. Yes, it's called RCBN Chelsea Fan TV. It's RCB. That's basically a cricket franchise. So I'm not sure if many would know, but yes, I am an RCBN, and that's how it's RCBN Chelsea Fan TV. So you'll get a lot of Chelsea content. But yes, I am covering the Euros as well. It is on YouTube. Everyone, please go smash a subscribe, as well as, you know, follow me on Twitter. But yes, you can follow me as Ankit Rana, that's my name, or RCP on Chelsea Fan TV. Thank you.
Brilliant. And the link to Ankit's channel is in the YouTube description below. I've got to be honest with you, though, Ankit. I was on your channel earlier, and I couldn't find much about the FA Cup final.
Well. Let's do a historical FA Cup, you know, session as well, and that's when you'll really know what we are.
We can all do historic, mate. Hey, and don't mention the Champions League.
You're only as good as your last FA Cup final.
Exactly, yeah. Craig. Exactly. Okay. You know, we are hoping. Hopefully, he'll come back. Excuse me, Reese. He's going to give us his thoughts on the final from a Scottish fan's point of view. He's having Wi-Fi problems at the moment, as Craig was a bit before. Like I say, that could have easily been my singing, but we'll see if we can get him back in later and he can join us. But, guys, thanks for being here. So this is Leicester Till I Die TV. You can get us all over the place. We are over you like a rash, because not only are we on YouTube, which is Leicester Till I Die TV, we're on Facebook, Leicester Till I Die The Group, and if you live in the Twitter sphere, we are at Leicester TID. And anybody who knows me will know that if you are on YouTube, press my buttons. I like my buttons to be pressed. Subscribe, notify. I keep expecting a ghost to pop up behind Craig. Like I said, he's from Friday the 13th, you know. So we better make the most of Craig while we're here. I mean, Craig, it feels good, doesn't it?
It does. And you know, Chris, that I wasn't a great advocate for Mr. Southgate.
No, you weren't indeed.
Yeah, I kind of lost respect for him as soon as he stopped wearing his waistcoat. You know, that was his thing. And then he seemed to lose his way a little bit. But it's funny because I found myself talking about Gareth Southgate the same way that I talk about Brendan Rodgers, in that sometimes I have got no idea what he's thinking in terms of his team selection, in terms of his substitutions, but somehow he's got a fantastic team spirit and is getting the results. And the parallels between my thoughts about him and Brendan are getting closer and closer by the day.
It's true. Oh, and I'm sure, Ankit, you do that. Well, you must have done it with Lampard and certainly with Tuchel. You sometimes look at the team selections, and Craig's quite right. We do it all the time. We look at those team selections, think, what the hell is that? And they get a win at the end of the day, and you're thinking, wow, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I would say, like, you know, of course, like, we as fans have like a thought in mind, right? 9 times out of 10, it's basically the common thought that, you know, one has to attack, one has to defend. But when it comes to managers, I'm sure like they have a team and they'll have a lot of strategies in place. They'll have like X, Y, Z. If yes, then what? If this, then what? Right? So they'll have backup strategies in place. So for the Euros and, you know, tournaments like this, it's no surprise that there is a tactic behind it. I know that, you know, non-English fans will probably say that, hey, you know, Southgate just played pragmatic and that's how he got to the finals. And now let's see what he does, right? And leave it to the players. But, you know, there is a thought in place, you know, for sure. Because when entire world says one thing and he was trying to do things totally different, there's got to be some process.
You can't argue, though, can you? And as I mean, I'd have his babies. I'm not going to lie. The guy is absolutely unbelievable. And Reese has just raised his eyebrows. Good evening, Reese. Thanks for joining us. As happy as I am, your first team is Scotland. Your second team is Germany. You must be going out Sunday night.
The way it's going, probably. Who knows?
Are you surprised, though? Oh, first of all, Reese, sorry, I didn't say this coming in late. You don't have your own channel, but you're on Twitch and Twitter, aren't you? Give a shout out to those.
Yes, so it's Twitch. It's Reese_Lightning1997, and you can find me on following YouTube channels. You can find me on the Dugout Football channel, where I'm exclusive on a Monday night. You can find me on the weekly Armchair Sports Talk now, as it's been rebranded. I'm hosting two pods now, and my first pod is next week, actually. So.
Good luck with that, mate. Good luck.
Our first host is next week, so I'm both bricking it, getting it, and buzzing
look,
for
just,
it.
I mean, you can't be worse than me. Just look, you know, look at what I do. Do completely the opposite, and you'll be brilliant, mate.
We'll find out next week, eh?
But, yeah, so are you going out Sunday night, or are you actually going to watch it?
I've watched every game so far, so it's not going to it's not going to stop me. I'm a football fan. I'm thinking, frankly, at the end of the day, if football's on, unless it's Liverpool or Leeds, don't find an opportunity not to watch it. So I'll be watching it, yeah.
So you're a football fan apart from Liverpool and Leeds. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
And there's a team up here as well that I'm not going to mention, but it could kickstart a problem in your live chat, so I'm not going to. You could probably guess, though, but I'm not going to do it. Ankit knows.
No. We'll move quickly on. But are you surprised, and I don't mean, you know, as a Scots fan, and you see, you know, we did, our worst game was, in fairness, against yourselves. You know, we were lucky to, all the banter aside, we were lucky, I think, to come out with a 0-0 there. You were obviously very happy with it. Were you surprised, having seen us in that game, that we've actually got on all the way to the final?
Yes and no. And I say that truthfully because, like, obviously in that game you weren't particularly impressive to watch. And obviously I'm not going to chuck banter aside. I'm just going to put it straight down the middle in terms of that game. There wasn't anything convincing in that game. You had one or two chances and they were from your centre back. There was nothing from the forward players that convinced me that you were going to score. And it was the same for us. Like, from our perspective, we had chances, we didn't take them. Like, the obvious one was from the right-hand side, O'Donnell in the box. Pickford got down quick enough, like, reflexes, like, even though he's shit for Everton, apologies for the language, yeah. But I've got to, he's shite for Everton, but for England, he turns up. And his reflexes are the reason you didn't lose a single game in the group stage. So I think you've got to hold it there. But other than that, nothing else convincing. But in terms of that, people moan about pragmatism. I'm the same. Like, I have a bit of a nightmare with pragmatic. I prefer exciting football, and you want to win playing exciting football. But sometimes if you really want to progress, you've got to do the hard, grunt, dirty work. And if it means being pragmatic, then by all means, be pragmatic and grow into the tournament. And that's what you've done, really.
Yeah, we have. And you've got to agree, Craig. I mean, that was our worst performance, wasn't it?
It was, and that was probably the zenith of me wanting Gareth out. I didn't go as far as making flags or T-shirts. But, you know, based on that, you're quite right. We didn't look like we showed anything that would get us, you know, out of the group, to be honest, you know, let alone where we are now. But I think, you know, we talked earlier, and Ankit mentioned it, about there's a plan in place. And I think they've looked at previous ones where Portugal have won it, Greece have won it, and they haven't let goals in. You know, I think Greece won it, winning 1-0 virtually all the way to the final. I think that seems to be his plan. Stay in a game until around 65, 70 minutes, and then use the bench and then try and win a game. And I think he's decided if you don't concede goals, you've got a chance of going all the way. And so it's proved.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, Ankit, everybody shouts out for Grealish to start. For me, I like him as a super sub. As Craig said then, bring him on in 70, 75 minutes when the opposition defence is knackered. But were you surprised to see him? Because I don't think it was an injury that he was brought on and then taken off.
Yeah,
was that just Gareth's amazingly amazing tactics?
Yeah, you have to give him that, because definitely if that would have been backfired, we would have blamed Gareth for sure, right? So if he gets that right, and as much as I don't like Kieran Trippier playing on the wing, like, personally speaking, I obviously prefer, like, a much more attacking formation, attacking football, like you would like to see, like, you know, reset as well. But yeah. Grealish turning into Henrik Larsson, what he was for Man United, I don't know. Like, that is, I believe, a little bit, I would say it's
a little bit. Like, comparison.
Yeah, as in, for sure.
Because you mentioned player that gave me nightmares for most of my early years growing up as a football fan in Scotland. There's a hint for the team I didn't want to mention earlier, but now you compare him, like, from the Man United days. Geez, are you trying to scare me as well? Because Henrik Larsson was an absolute machine.
No, but that's the thing, right? Super sub. Like, you know, the way Grealish is coming on is like, okay, he can do much more. So what he does in 30 minutes is fantastic, but he can give you even much more, right? So I would actually start Grealish. But I think I can understand from where Gareth is coming, because I think Saka has been brilliant. I think Saka has been probably the player of the tournament come the knockouts. And that's where probably he wants that left-footed attacking, you know, winger on the right-hand side. And Grealish is not able to displace Sterling, because Sterling is probably the player of the tournament if he scores again in the final.
I must admit, I am extremely fat at the moment on eating humble pie, because I did nothing but complain, say how awful Sterling was. And he's just come good. But, I mean, Reece, there's some players that people have been screaming out for, like the Jordan Sanchos and the Bellingham, but he hasn't needed to play him, has he?
Is there a necessity to play
exactly
him? Like, yeah. In all fairness, obviously, as a Man United fan, obviously, I want the United players to do well, but there's a degree of how far I really want the Man United players to do well in this tournament from one side. But in all respect, you want your best players to be playing just to see what they can do. And to a degree as well, like, there's a level of, maybe there's a level of bias, maybe there's a level of favouritism, as it's pointed out to a few managers that have got their favourites, they want to stick with them. But to be fair, he's already made choices throughout this tournament. It makes you wonder, is Gareth Southgate actually been a favourite type manager? I don't think so. I think he's actually utilising his squad the right way. And to a degree, if people are moaning about favouritism, then like, you really need to get your head out of the sand, because frankly, sometimes a manager is going to use their favourites, and there's a good reason for it. It's because they trust them.
I mean, Greg, that's a good point. I mean, I hate to say that Sancho only got on the pitch once he's actually signed for Man United. Coincidence.
Like he wasn't playing him because he was playing in the German league. But as soon as he joined Man United, he's like, oh, so you're the Jadon Sancho I've been hearing about, right?
Okay, yes.
Yeah, total. Total agenda.
But I know, Greg, that a lot of people are, well, when we first got Southgate and he didn't want the job, and he came in and he said, I'm going to pick players that are on form, and I'm going to, you know, I don't care who they play for. And he very much did stuck. I mean, Kane, you could say, wasn't on form, but he stuck with him, not unlike Venables sticking with Sheringham before Euro 96. And we know that, you know, how good Sheringham became in that tournament. But he has. I mean, would Phillips from Leeds have got in under another manager?
It's difficult to say because we'll never find out. I think Southgate showed tendencies to be a favouritist manager, and it clearly seemed to be, I would say, over the last couple of years, that he was ignoring players who seemed to be from a, shall we call, outside the big six. His treatment, you know, everybody said that he was fantastic with younger players, but some of his treatment of them was pretty poor. I think I remember when Harvey Barnes got in the squad, had one game, didn't get particularly a long time on the pitch, didn't even make the next squad. So, you know, I think he's grown in my estimation a little bit over this tournament, because I think he's made some tough decisions, which he didn't look like he was a man who was capable of doing it. Yeah. You know, but he has made some, and I think the Grealish one was a perfect example of that. It would have been easy to leave Grealish on and shuffle things around, but he knew at the time there was a game to be won. So he put aside all the sentiment there and thought, right, what do I need to win this game and see this game out? And he made the decisions to do it. As you know, I'm not a big fan of the two holding midfielders, but he stuck with them. And that's his game plan. But he'll make changes when he needs to. And we all thought it was going to be Grealish. It was going to be Foden was going to be the star of this tournament. And he's found a formula that seems to work, and he's happy to stick with those players because
Sky Blue doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah.
As you can tell with Chris's attire.
We do know, though, that it was a good decision that he made to bring Grealish on and take him off, because Jose Mourinho didn't agree with it. But Ankit, do you not think that, you know, as England manager, we're going to come on to the game in a second, but as England manager, you've got to have a formation that you're happy with. And you can't just pick a player because they're good if they don't fit into that formation.
Yeah, I think you said it right, because I think it's clear to me that Southgate likes the two double pivot system. That's what he called it, right? So double pivot system works for him. Like even if he plays 3-4-3 or when he goes 4-2-3-1, he has those two. Like you mentioned the players there, like Bellingham, when Southgate took over and especially during the qualifiers, Bellingham was still up and coming. He was, you know, really not there yet. I think last few months has really, you know, he's grown big time, right? And Henderson, don't forget, like, he's been injured as well. So, in a way, I think Southgate, yes, he has his preferred formation, but the players that were picked, like you mentioned, Phillips, for instance, right? As in, those were probably picked by default in the end as holding midfielders. And, of course, like, he has lot of players, you know, in attacking, you know, formation that he plays, right, as in to play. So that's something that it's him that he picks either just two of them or three. Now that, say, for example, Mason Mount is back, right, after the short break that he had a couple of weeks earlier. So Southgate knows that, okay, if he's playing with a stronger midfield, that gives him a better chance to basically, you know, go at games on the wings, and that's how his way of working out things is, and that's the reason why the players are picked. I don't think it's really players that are picked because of the potential. It's basically the way Southgate plays, and then whoever's available for those formations is something that Southgate goes with.
I think that's something that you've got to respect Gareth for, because we've had so many managers in the past who have tried to shoehorn in the so-called best players rather than play the best player in that position. They've wanted to get the best player. So we've had Scholes playing left wing, and, you know, he could never decide, you know, managers never decide between Gerrard and Lampard, and but they'd persist with it. And they just want the best players on the pitch, regardless of where they played. And at least Gareth has decided it's the formation that counts, and I'll pick players that can play it.
Do you think that's fan pressure, though, Reece? That, you know, we want this player in this player. Why isn't this player playing? Why isn't this player, you know? But has sort of, because Gareth's got us to third, you know, in the world in the last World Cup, fourth place, third in the Nation League. He's got a bit of leeway to say, look, let me do it my way. Let me pick my players.
Yeah, there's always going to be a degree of fan pressure, but I don't think he's actually. I don't think he's actually listening, and I think that's actually a good thing, because if you listen to your fans, and there's a fair amount of fans obviously across the world for it doesn't matter like who you are, whether it's club football or international football, if you consistently listen to your fans, then fair enough, fans are the heartbeat of everything, but not every fan is right, and obviously there's a different
just
opinion.
The Leicester
well.
Ones, eh, Craig?
Even then, I'm not sure.
We're not even going to go there. But there's a level of degree to it as well. Like, in terms of, if you want to build the best team, you've got to. You can't just shoe in your best players. I agree with Craig that you have to have the best player for that position. And frankly, yes. England played their best midfielder out of the three of them on the left wing. Like, we all know we all know that Scholes is better than Lampard and Gerrard. It's not even a debate. It's just done. It's Scholes is better than two of them combined. But
no bias there.
No, it's just complete truth. But even so, like, you look at this team now, and to be fair, you don't really need to have the best players in that position. You can have a couple of players that aren't technically great, but do the grunt work, and you let the technical players just control the game. And that's sort of what he's got. And there's some teams that really need that going forward. So if anything, you don't always have to listen to the fans. Just stick to your gun.
Craig, though, do you listen to the players? I mean, Bobby Robson is always held up as one of the best England managers. You know, he got us to our last semi-final in the World Cup in 1990, and we came fourth place. Funnily enough, losing out to Italy in the third, fourth place playoff, thanks to a certain Peter Shilton in goal. But the rumours were in that tournament, because as always with England, we started off slowly, and the rumours were that the actual players went to see him and said, look, we're not happy with this, and he listened and he made changes, and of course we then went on the great run and got through to the semi-final. So how true that is, Craig, I don't know. You're old, you're almost my age, so you might have heard of that.
Yeah, but I think there's a balance to be struck. You know, you can't just go that I'm going to be bullheaded and not listen to any advice that I'm being given. The senior players are senior players, you know, and I'm sure the same happens in every club. A manager has a core group of three or four senior players that they will turn to and they will talk to and get a feeling for how other players feel about them and whether they think they're getting the best out of them. So I think he's probably finding the balance. You can't be England manager and listen to fans. I mean, that's just crazy talk, to be honest, because you'll have, you know what, 80 million different opinions to try and listen to. I think the balance is being honest with players. And I think that's how he's managed to find this camaraderie amongst them. As long as you're straight with players, you tell them why they're not playing or why they don't work for this particular game, and they'll buy into it. And I think that's what's happened here. All the players have bought into this fact that we will only win it if we're a team. You can imagine Grealish a couple of seasons ago getting pulled like that, and he would be having a right sulk. But he didn't. He took it on the chin. I'm sure he was hurting, but he didn't throw his shirt away or anything. He just got on with it. You saw Youri Tielemans looked horrified when he got hooked in the last Belgium game. But Grealish just got on with it, and I think they're all there for each other, even those that are not making the bench. I think we had a game where Calvert-Lewin didn't even make the 20, didn't make the bench. He was one of the three left out. He was on the pitch at the end of the game being hugged by Gareth. He's got them all feeling part of it, and that's a big key to success.
Mm-hmm. We've probably not actually had that sort of feeling around the camp since Bobby Robson. And, you know, the point there was that Bobby Robson listened to the players, and that's probably why he got the respect and he got the best out of them, because he was inclusive. But I'm just going to bring up my first Euro fact number one, to bore people with. We've faced each other 27 times. The Italians winning 11 to England's 8 with 8 draws. It's our turn to get one back, isn't it, Ankit?
Yeah, but you know what? Important stat is what's the recent history, right? And then, unfortunately, I think Italy beat England 4 times last year. 4 international, you know, tournaments that we played them, right? So I think, yes, it is time for us to, you know, break that record, and Italy have a great record. I think no one can deny that they are probably right up there when it comes to form. Like, you know, there's no two ways about it. And I think Craig earlier mentioned the reason why Italy, you know, may, you know, kind of go about winning these games is the way that England is playing this tournament. And the bad thing is Italy are just getting to that form. I think the semis game, you just saw that, right? As in the way they played against Spain was their old pragmatic stuff that they do. And that's something that England needs to be wary about. And I think on counter, probably Italy are as, if not, you know, more fierce than England is.
Rhys, looking at Italy. That's the wrong one. I haven't got Italy's up. I'll bring that up in a minute. Let's have a look at England first then. Talk us through England's journey there.
Very impressive. That's what I can say. Very impressive. And there's two names that stand out. Hate you for this.
No. In all fairness,
it's a very impressive one.
I didn't pick them with the fact that we played those two teams. We just happened to play them. I mean, you look at that, and it's, you know, the 6 games played there, we've conceded one goal, and Craig alluded to it earlier. You're not going to, you know, do badly if you're not conceding goals.
Very true. Very, very true. And if you aren't conceding goals, it gives you a great deal of confidence. But the only thing is, every defence can get penetrated, and obviously that's what Denmark did. Like, they did get through your defence. Obviously, it's quite a questionable free kick based on a lot of people's views. I don't particularly care. All I can say is after the goal was fantastic to watch, and tiny dinosaur arms couldn't get anywhere near it. But if, with all due respect, if these opportunities are presented to you, you've got to take them. And that's exactly what they did. Like, they took that opportunity. But it's football. Like, football works in mysterious ways. And you've got a solid defence. But the question is, can you hold out the hungry Italians? That's the real question.
Well, we'll come on to the Italians in a second, but Craig, and I apologise to Rhys for the fact that there was two teams in there on two results.
All, the worst thing is, it's not that I just support them. I've got relatives from these countries, so I have, I've got Italian and German relatives. I'm fucked either way.
Oh, I didn't know about the Italian connection. Well,
I told you a while back.
It's going to be. I know the German. Sorry, I didn't know the. I'd forgotten the Italian.
Yeah, my great grandparents were Italian. So,
well, we've got to do the triple over you then, haven't we? Really?
You might not.
I tell you what, mate. If we do, you're going to get some banter now.
If you do. Funnily enough, no one's bantered me yet. That's the funny thing. No one's bantered me. I think it's just because they know I can take it, but I can dish it good as well. Yeah. So I think that's why I'm not getting bantered, but I'm not bothered. I mean, it's football.
Unlike certain Welsh fans, you can take it. But Craig, I mean, no disrespect to, and I mean this, Reece, no disrespect to any of the teams we've played, but, you know, people saying that we haven't sort of, you know, played any tough games, really. I mean, Germany weren't the Germany that we know that the Germans have been. You know, it's that wasn't a Germany side you would expect to come up against. You know, we haven't met a Spain, we haven't met a France, an Italy yet, or things like that. But you can only play what's in front of you. And I said this at the World Cup when they said, "Oh well, you have an easy side," but it's tournament football.
It is, and I think, you know, I don't think Germany were that bad. I think they'd put in a couple of fantastic performances. Definitely not the Germany of old, but
no.
You know, if Thomas Müller had gone right instead of left, you know, 1-1, we could have been having a totally different story here. You know, it wasn't like we kept them to no chances. I think he's found a way, and it's not something I like, but I think Gareth looks at nullifying the opposition before trying to take advantage later in the game. That seems to be his starting point. How can we nullify them? And I think that's what he's managed to do with every team we've played so far. He did it against the Germans. I mean, Gosens had been having a fantastic tournament up to that point. Hardly saw him in that game. True. So that's what he looks to do. Can we take out their players? Almost to a point where the opposition manager has no choice but to substitute them because they're being totally nullified. And that's where he seems to be banking his tactics, as it were, and then going on late on to win the games. And I think it'll be exactly the same. It'll be interesting because if you look at statistically and tactically, both teams are stronger down the left-hand side. So Shaw and Sterling and Verratti and is it Inzaghi? I'm not Inzaghi.
You got a point because they're both strongest with Spinazzola as well, and they've just lost him.
Yeah, exactly. He was fantastic. Yeah. So they're the strength. So it'll be interesting to see how that's played off. And I think he may tweak it a little bit in terms of his personnel, in terms of how he nullifies that right hand side. But I think that's their left hand side, our right. But I think that's what he'll look to do. And also, if you look at the stats, the best player for playing forward passes into the final third has been Jorginho, surprisingly enough. His stats for passing and starting attacks has been fantastic, to be honest. So it wouldn't surprise me if you see when we're out of position, him asking Harry Kane to drop deep and try and almost pick up Jorginho and stop him having as much of the play, and then have Mount come in front of him to try and nullify Jorginho as well.
Well, let's hope so. Anke, I mean, this was what I wanted to bring up for Reece before, and I managed to get it up now. He says, famous last words, here we go. Italy's route to the final.
Yeah, I think Italy have been the team of the tournament, right? I think there's no two ways about it. The game against Turkey, the first half was the only half probably where they did not really play football apart from the semis. For me, the way that they, you know, their midfield is, right? As in even their substitute midfielders are scoring goals for fun. Even the game against Wales, like I think Craig mentioned there, like, you know, nullifying teams. Like Wales were actually trying that with Italy and Italy were able to break that. And in a game which was not as important as for them compared to the Wales. So that tells you a lot. And in extra time, even they went against Austria. They have been one team which has never given up. And the team spirit is there for you to see, right? So the game against Belgium was a classical example where you had all the big guns playing for Belgium coming back. I know Hazard didn't kind of, you know, play because of the injury. But apart from him, I think all the players were there. And Italy, you know, went from strength to strength. They were playing attacking football at the time. And just in time, they are actually playing the way that they do best. And as I said earlier, pragmatic football in the semis. And funny enough, Craig mentioned about the left side of Italy. Yes, Spinazzola has been probably the best left back in the tournament, without a shadow of a doubt. But I think their weak link, even being a Chelsea fan, I'm telling it, Emerson is their weak link. There's no two ways about
it. He should have taken Luca Pellegrini, in my opinion. I watch a lot of Serie A, and I would have taken Pellegrini over that Emerson clown any day. He doesn't know how to play football.
But Reese, the problem is that they don't attack as much on the right, right? So they need that left attacking threat, which Emerson brings a lot of. Problem is Emerson is not good, or good is probably a great word for him himself. He cannot defend for fun, right? He cannot defend. He's great. He's probably more of a wing back than a left back, really. Mm-hmm. But he plays left back. I don't know why. Yeah, as in, so that is something that probably England should target. And the only way that you can break Italy for me, seeing that pattern that you just showed, Chris, is the way Saka against Emerson, that will be the battle. And Italy have not lost because of their fullbacks being very strong, and that will probably be their Achilles heel this time.
I'm surprised they don't tackle a lot down the right-hand side, because Florenzi's proven it. Like, for Roma, he's proven it for PSG, and at times for Italy as well, prior to this tournament. He is a fantastic attacking fullback, and he's got the pace to deliver as well. Like, he tore Man United apart on his own. Like, I remember him playing. I remember him playing the Champions League game when he had about 25 yards of space, and Alex Telles wouldn't even go near him. So that says it all, really. Like, a good attacking left back versus a very good attacking right back, and Telles didn't go near him once. He gets that sort of space against England. With all due respect, you're in trouble.
The guy I've been really, really impressed with, who, I, to be honest, I've not watched a lot of Italian football last season, has been Chiesa. I think once since he's got in, you know, I think it was Berardi was in there first, who Leicester have been heavily linked with. But for me, Chiesa just looks tremendous and very positive, always on the front foot. And I think he's a real threat.
I hope you guys sign him personally. I'll say that, like, from a Man United fan towards Leicester fans, I honestly hope you sign a player like Berardi. I think he's a fantastic right winger.
Who haven't we been linked with, though? That's the thing. and Daniel James is the latest one as well, but that's for another show. That's for another show. Your fact number two, Italy failed to win any of the side's first eight meetings, but as Ankit alluded to earlier, England have managed a solitary win in the last seven. So, you know, we need it to swing back our way. But I want to say to you, and Reese, say, having the Italian blood in you, we're going to struggle when they turn around to the cheating, aren't we?
I don't think you should talk to me about cheating, mate. I mean, as much as Immobile cheated, what was Harry Kane doing against Austria? I'm sorry, but he dived what, five times? I mean, I know what Immobile did, and believe me, I was not impressed. But Harry Kane was diving left, right, and centre, and both players are bad as each other.
I think it just highlights. I think the what Immobile did, I think, was just sort of a lot more obvious. I mean, yes, you know, I'm not going to say we've got Jamie Vardy. We know what sort of, you know, diving for penalties is all about. No disrespect, but
what's wrong with Spurs mentality? Because they had Jurgen Klinsmann, and he was doing it for them as well. Remember?
Oh, Jurgen Klinsmann. I mean, that was his goal celebration, wasn't it?
Jurgen Klinsmann was the inventor of the dive, and now it's become, like, it's annoying, but the worst thing is like, a forward, when they do it, like, there's some forwards that don't intend to dive, but it just happens. And then there's some who do it because they know what a dive can do. Like, taking a dive, you're effectively, you're drawing a foul, you're either going to get a player sent off, or you're going to lead to a set piece situation where it's either going to be a free kick or it's going to be a penalty. There's players that do it and they get away with it. I mean, I come from experience. I'm a Man United fan. I can name two players off the top of my head that have done diving. Ronaldo done it in his early years. He got beaten to death pretty much in training by Ferdinand and Roy Keane. They kicked out of him. Ashley Young done it for years, and that was embarrassing. So I'm used to seeing diving, and I absolutely hate it. I don't care who you play for. I hate it. It needs to get stamped out of the game. I don't care. Even if you ban them for 10 games, you'll never see them dive again, because imagine losing that amount of football.
Yeah. Well, we touched on this with the ref VAR yesterday, didn't we, Craig?
Yeah,
we did. Yeah.
On that.
We all hate diving.
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
Yeah. A lot of people are sort of playing on the fact that, you know, this is a young England side, that they haven't got the experience of the tournaments, et cetera, et cetera. But you've got players in there that have played in Champions League finals, that have played in FA Cup finals, that are playing, you know, top players week in, week out in the Premier League. That shouldn't be a problem, should it?
It shouldn't be. I think it's the old adage, isn't it? Play the game, not the occasion. I don't think there's any way that the players are not going to know that this is going to be a big occasion. It may be different if it was away, but it's not. It's at Wembley. Yeah. The crowd are going to let them know that this is something special. And I think
we're singing Atomic Kitten before they come out. That's what they'll be doing.
Well, let's hope not. Well, the only thing worse than that is you singing it, Chris. So I think we saw it. We saw it in the game against Denmark. I mean, we looked very nervous early on. I mean, Jordan Pickford tried to give the ball away as many times as he could. I don't know if he'd had a bet on himself, but he seemed to. And you already could put that down
allegedly, this is in case my lawyers are watching, yeah. Allegedly.
But that, for me, that's nerves. And I know he probably won't, but for me, I would be making a change for this game. I would be bringing Henderson in place of one of the two midfielders, I think, because you need somebody vocal. You need a bit of experience, someone who's not afraid to get on the back of each other, of the other players, and tell them to sort of focus. And I think we don't, apart from Maguire, I don't think we have any particularly vocal players in there. And Rice and Phillips are, for me, too young to feel like they can have a voice, almost. They haven't got that many caps, so they're probably still feel like they're not, you know, they're not England players that have been there for 30, 40, 50 games. And therefore, I think they're a little bit meek in terms of having to pop at other players. So for me, I would be making that change and putting Henderson in there just for some vocal. But we know Italy are masters of the dark arts. You're going to need somebody who can just pull people around and get them into the right positions. And for me, I think Henderson would be a sensible change. I don't expect him to make it, but it would be a sensible change for me.
I see where you're coming from. I mean, Anke, just playing on from that, yeah, it has been a long time coming. This is only our second final. It's taken us 55 years to get there, 302 games, over 140,000 miles, and 17 managers. It's been a long journey, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. I mean, long journey is an understatement, Chris. That's forever. I think probably my dad wasn't born, you know, when England probably, you know, were kind of in that zone, right? But yeah, as in we speak about England underachieving over the years. The fact is, if you're speaking purely on the Euros, Italy haven't won many times either in recent years. I think it's been 53 years.
That's a final at all. That's any sort of final. World Cup or Euros.
Italy haven't been a Euros final since in 21 years as well.
Funny you should mention that. They actually were in a 2012.
I forgot about that one. See, I choose to forget that.
Yeah, you would choose to forget about that one, wouldn't you? They lost to Spain 4-0 in Kiev. That was obviously in Spain's, you know, when they had their the golden team.
Yeah. I think a proper even team though, like that team in 2000 against France. That was even. But yes. that Italy versus Spain game, that wasn't even a game. That was an absolute massacre.
No, but I have a great stat for you guys there. Definitely England fans, especially 2012. Like again, no bias, but guys, 2012 Chelsea won the Champions League, and Italy lost the final when they were in Euros. 2021 Chelsea won the Champions League again, and hopefully Italy loses the final again.
Yeah, but what happened in that 2012 tournament though? England lost on penalties to a certain Mr. Andrea Pirlo. You've also got another set piece. I'm not comparing Jorginho to Pirlo, by the way, before anyone goes after Rocker the next second. But they've got an equally good set piece specialist in this team in Jorginho.
Yeah,
it could very well happen again. So, like, but you made a valid point. Like 2012, like they did lose the Euros. Obviously, Chelsea won the Champions League, but they failed to defend that title the following season. Correct me if I'm wrong.
And they won the Europa League. Anyway, that's definitely a different chat, but you know, we've been there 4 European Cups in 9 years. Anyway, so
that's another time and another room. I think we'll split that up and we'll have another Euro fact. England has suffered tournament-ending losses in both the team's previous Euro encounters. Marco Tardelli's late goal earned the Azzurri hosts a 1-0 win in the 1980 group stage, while Italy, as Reese was alluding to there, won on penalties. Andrea Pirlo's Panenka in the 2012 final. So, yeah, even though you want to forget the Spanish massacre of
I forgot it was the final. I thought it was the semi. See, that's how like 9 years has went 9 years has been that much. Like, it says it all, really.
And we're still living from like 55 years and the 1966 World Cup final. I mean, talking now, let's look at what Gareth might do. And Craig sort of alluded there that he would bring Henderson back in. Would you make any changes, or would you say, if it's not broken, don't fix it? Reece, sorry.
Coming from an opposite perspective from the spectrum?
Yeah.
You know what? I actually agree. I think going with a more experienced option in a final is actually, I think it's smarter than just going with the young bucks. Because obviously, Craig mentioned spectacularly, and I hold it credit, because it's something that my club's all-time favorite, greatest manager did very well. So that, you manage the game with your best players and you use the experience of big games. And I think going with Henderson might actually be the smarter option, because yes, you're playing the occasion, but this isn't just any ordinary occasion. This is a big final, and you really want, if you want to win this, it's better to be smart than be naive.
Yes.
So I think it would be smarter to go with Henderson. The question is, though, how long do you play him for?
And you don't, if he goes to penalties, you get Henderson off Sharpish.
Nah, keep him on. Let him go first.
or you know, and thankfully, you know, we haven't got De Gea on the subs bench, so he can't come on to do penalties.
That's true.
But Craig, it's not often you get a Scotsman to agree with you, but Craig, you've got to say it would be totally unfair, like I say, on Phillips or anybody to be dropped at this point. It takes a big manager to do that. I mean, and some managers, like we've seen, you know, they will pick the players because of the fact of their name or the club they played for. I can remember Hoddle dropping Gascoigne for a World Cup and him having the balls to do that. I can imagine Southgate. I can't see him having a problem with it, though. I think if he needs to change it, and we saw that, like you said earlier, with the Grealish double substitution.
Yeah, I've got a sneaky feeling he won't do it on this occasion because, to be honest, it's difficult to know which one of them that you would replace. For me, it would be Rice. I think he's probably had the least effective tournament out of the two. And I think he's the one who seems to be held back a little bit. So I would go with him. But I'm not sure he would. But I think, as Reece said there, you know, it's a game. It's one game. You can argue about everything else at the end of it and, you know, give him a pat on the back and say sorry for this one. But I'm sure, you know, Rice coming off the bench late on and then ending up with a winner's medal would be a lot happier than Rice playing from the start and having a loser's medal. That's what it comes down to. You've got to say what is the best team to win this one game. You haven't got any more games to come, so you can't rest players or whatever. It's one game, it's 90 minutes. And for me, I think Italy will come at us quite early on, and I think that's when we need to get into the later stages of the game and then make changes. So for me, I think he just brings that experience and can settle the players down quite early on, because I think those first 15, 20 minutes could be quite difficult for us.
Ankit, we've played all but one game at Wembley. And people are, you know, a lot of opposition fans are saying, like, it's unfair, it shouldn't be happening. I mean, what they say when it's, you know, 4 years or 3 years' time when it's held in Germany and we go back to the normal way of having the tournament in one country, what is the difference? But, I mean, the Spanish referee's been, the Spanish manager and I think the Italian one as well have both been coming out and moaning, saying that, you know, it's UEFA's favouritism for us. And in the Spanish manager even going as far as saying, like, we shouldn't be hosting it because we had Brexit.
Yeah, I think I can understand from where, you know, they are coming from. But the fact is, like, in this COVID, you know, pandemic world that we're all in, you know, no one really knows what really goes on, as much as, you know, there must be a lot of, you know, planning and why they do certain things in the management, right? But having said that, like, it could have backfired as well, right? As in, imagine England losing, as always, the first couple of, you know, matches in tournament, and it could all go wrong. Like, you know, it's easy to say that when England is in the final, that it's been easier. But actually, don't forget, like, these players are also, at the end of the day, they are young people, right? They are playing in front of thousands of fans. after a year. They haven't played in front of fans for so long. Like, for them to be playing in front of fans, trust me, there's a lot of pressure, especially when you are an English player. It's not easy, and we all know how, you know, the English fans are. They're great behind you, but when it goes bad, you know, the booing is something which is part and parcel of the game, right? So for sure, I think it's a double-edged sword, and I think England have played it well, and kudos to them. But I can hear, like, definitely, you know, if I was an opposition manager or like an opposition fan, even I would be saying that, hey, this is, you know, definitely partiality. There's bias there. But we've got to live in this world that we are in, and, you know, not every host wins every tournament. So we've got to give England there as well.
Yeah, I mean, Reece, Scotland fans, they're great. I mean, you know, the noise at Hampden when you play there, it is amazing. But we know before this game that, you know, we're going to have, we've got the DJ there. We're going to have, you know, Sweet Caroline. We are going to have Atomic Kitten. We're going to have, you know, Three Lions. I mean, we did before Euro 96. You know, they were doing Sweet Caroline, and the players could hear it. Harry Kane was, you know, could hear them singing it. Is it going to help them, or is? I mean, I'm not singing it, so it's not, it might not put them off that much. But although they did offer me the gig, but you know, I can't travel at the moment. But will it be a good thing or a bad thing, do you think, Reece?
Not always, and I think the only reason I can say that is because it depends on the situation, because obviously this is a final and obviously you've got to adapt to the situation. I think the only thing I can see why opposition managers have been a bit concerned, because England have played there, there's been more England fans than there has been opposition fans present. I mean, what was it, 55,000 English fans at Wembley, like, compared to what, 5,000 Denmark fans compared to this?
Would you not get that if we were hosting the whole tournament as Germany?
It'd be more balanced out if it had been a non-COVID situation. I still think there should have been maybe a bit more of an increased capacity to other fans, but that's just my point of view. I think it's a bit unfair that, like, Denmark had, what, 7,000 fans being completely... Obviously, they're going to get outnumbered anyway by English fans. It doesn't matter where they are, but to a degree, you would still offer more, because there's going to be, what, 9,000... Italian fans, and then you're going to have 9,000 English fans, but we all know really it's going to be what's 58,000 English fans. Some of them will probably be told to wear an Italy shirt or whatever, but they'll be secretly ripping them off for an English shirt just to say, well, actually, we're all here present anyway. So
controversial.
I still think it'd be a bit, to be fair, who really cares in terms of, like, does a song affect them? Frankly, if you're not motivated in any way to play in a final, you should be there in the first place.
Yeah, I'm thinking of, like, the atmosphere that it would generate.
I think based on the games they've played so far, what, played in Rome, yeah, they've played at Wembley 6 times, and they've played with fans, they've played without fans. If they're not used to the situation, then they may as well just not bother playing in the first place.
Yes, yeah. Last fact, and then we're going to have a couple of quick questions. Italy never lost to England at a major finals. 2-1 World Cup victories in 1990, which is the third place playoff I mentioned earlier, and the 2014 group stage in the World Cup on top of the Euro triumph. So, yeah, you know, it's our turn, lads. Come on, it's our turn. But what I'm going to ask you now, going to go round robin for the first question and do the same for the second one. Obviously, the second one will be a score prediction. The first one, starting with you, Craig, will be your England player of the tournament so far.
He hasn't played everything. Part of me would like to give it to Harry Maguire, because I think he's made such a difference since he's come back into the team. I wasn't sure, to be honest, but you can see why Gareth gave him the opportunity of getting fit. I think he's made a real difference. But the biggest surprise of everyone to me has been Raheem Sterling. He wouldn't have been in my team. And yeah, I think he's probably the only player who's actually taken the game to the opposition. Again, you look at the stats. For players dribbled past, he's the number one in the tournament. So he's the one who takes the game to the opposition. And I think with those ageing centre-halves, that could be critical. So for me, I think Raheem Sterling.
Ankit?
Yeah, I was going with Raheem Sterling, simply the fact that he's played every game and he started off slowly, to be honest, but he's got the goal, that most important goal that probably got through the group stages for them, right? As in, you cannot undermine that at all. So overall, yes, and the so-called penalty that he won in the semis, at the end of the day, like, his dribbles were there, and that's the reason why the referee got conned, if he did. Yeah. So I think you've got to give it to Raheem Sterling for sure. But a shout out for Bukayo Saka. I think if Saka had probably played the first couple of games fully, I would have gone for Saka. The fact that is keeping Foden out in itself, I think, after the season he's had, definitely deserves a shout out.
And I have to say, you know, he was scythed down. It was a dangerous tackle. It was a penalty all day. Reese, this is going to be hard for you, being I just wonder what other countries you're going to sort of have a link with, to be honest with you. You haven't got any North Macedonia in you, have you?
I'm not like Brad.
So who would your player of the tournament be?
Just for England, because I have got
from England. Sorry, yeah, you're English player of the tournament.
To be honest, I'm going to say Calvin Phillips.
All right,
I'll be honest with you. I think he's been an absolute wrecking machine. I think he's done exactly what he needs to do, and he's been extremely effective. And he's when he needs to be, like, he's done his job. I know the usual suspects like Shaw, Maguire, Sterling, not Kane, not in the slightest. Not even going to give him a notion. But I would 100% give it to Calvin Phillips, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. I think there's just so many players have impressed that we weren't expecting to impress. You know, Maguire, yeah, he's come really well. Shaw, I've been really totally impressed with Shaw. I've probably got to give it to Sterling as well, because I've been his biggest critic in an England shirt. And yes, he has, you know, when he's not being sort of attacked by the opposition defenders, I think he's really made me eat my words. But finally, and I'm going to dread getting to Reese with this one, but first of all, I might just lose connection at that time or mute you. But let's start with Craig. Let's go, because he knows about our score predictions every week. Let's have one for this game, Craig.
I think it's going to be really tough. I think there's going to be periods of this game that Italy overrun us. But I've got this sneaky feeling that we're going to come through it and we're going to win 1-0.
1-0. Oh, I don't think my heart could stand that. Ankit?
Yes, I see definitely England conceding again. So Italy will score one, but England will get that one back. And I actually noticed Mount, you know, really becoming sharper more recently in the semis. So I am predicting Mount to score. So 1-1. And believe it or not, I'm going for England to win on penalties.
God, that's worse than the 1-0, Anki. What you're trying to do, just kill me off. I've got a dodgy ticky, you know.
Don't worry, we've got the team there. They are much more experienced than the yesteryears, hopefully. Like, I'm just going with it.
Oh, God. England on penalties. Don't do this to me. Reece, I mean, whatever Reece says now, it can't be as bad as that.
I'm going to go. It finishes 2-2 after extra time, and I think Italy are going to edge it on penalties.
Oh, not penalties again. Oh.
I think Italy are going to take the game too. I think they're the most balanced team in the tournament. I think they'll dominate the early stages when they'll score. And then after that, they'll score playing Route 1 football. But I think they're going to edges on penalties.
I really don't want to see Jorginho taking the last penalty, a little skip and rolling it, trickling it over the line. I really don't want to see that.
No, not at all. Well,
either team can win this. It's 50-50. Contrary to what some people believe.
I wouldn't even be putting any of Chris's money on it.
Well, the two most popular predictions, allegedly, are 1-0 to England. And obviously this is from the English press, so we're going to say this. And 2-1 to England. I'm a bit like Anki. I can see us conceding, probably from a free kick. But I think we will we will win it. I'm sorry, 2-1.
I think this will be the game where you finally can see from open play. Insigne and Raheem Sterling play the exact same way, getting behind the defenders, use their pace, dribbling, trickery. Yeah. I think it'll be Insigne that puts the ball past you in the first 20 minutes.
Well, we've proved, haven't we, that, you know, we went 1-0 down to the Danes and we overcame that hurdle. My worry is that I had Italy, and this is the final that I didn't want because I had Italy down as my dark horses from the get-go. So this is the final I really, really didn't want. But that said, if it wasn't them, it would have been Spain or France possibly. So, you know, who knows? Guys, thank you so much for coming on. I'll leave you with this before I let you go. But we're just going
North Macedonia are going to win it. Get your bets on. You heard it here first. North Macedonia are going to wipe the floor of the tournament. Shock of the decade, shock of the century, you name it. You thought 5,000-1 was good odds. Well, listen to it. Get your bets in. North Macedonia to not just get out of the group, but they're going to win it. North Macedonia, come on.
What are you? Some kind of doomsday machine, boy.
He's not here. He's on holiday, so but he's here in spirit. I really hope he's gone out and put a bet on Italy because with his as you can see from the standard, he wasn't having the best of nights all around that night with his connectivity. But
I don't know what was going through his head for that, but that's genius.
I kind of encouraged him at the end because he'd said it earlier on, and I gave him the studio at the end to say go on a rant, mate, because. There was him and Scott, and they wanted North Macedonia to qualify out the group when we were doing our Euro predictions at the start, and it just became a standing joke. But I would never let
you
forget.
Like them, you would want to get out of the group, eh? Like, first time at a major tournament, you want...
This was the thing. Yes. This was the thing. But, I'm not going to let him forget that. Rhys, thanks very much for coming on, and I'm sorry that on our side it was the two games that you didn't want to see. But
in all respect, though, if you are previewing a final, you have to show the route to the final. You've got to show who you've beaten. So that's how it is.
Yeah. And you would have got Italy had I remembered to load the right graphic, and I'd loaded the other graphic twice. But Rhys, again, just give a quick shout out for your Twitch and your Twitter. Thanks very much. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for having me on, boys. I do appreciate it. Do hit the subscribe button, guys. It's a channel worth watching. Hit notifications bell as well. For myself, if you're into Twitch gaming, it's Reese_Lightning1997. You can follow me exclusively on Twitter as well at R7United, which is also a UM1T3D. You can find me at the Dugout Football channel on a Monday night. It's an exclusive World of Football podcast. I am one of the co-hosts. You can find me there. And you can also find me on the weekly Armchair Sports Talk. I will be hosting two shows, not one. I should have said earlier on, I'm hosting two shows. My first pod is next week, which I'm absolutely buzzing for. But all in all, football's where it's
at. They're throwing you in at the deep end, aren't they? They're throwing you in at the deep end.
it's stuff I like, and it's not going to stop me. I
tell you what, mate, you're going to be great at. You're going to be great at it, and you will kill it. I'll tell you. So, but
thank you.
But
I appreciate
good luck
that.
With that, mate. Good luck. I'm sure we'll come on and give you some banter.
That's if you win on Sunday.
Yeah, if we don't win on Sunday, you won't see me for a week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, boys. I appreciate that.
Take care, mate. Stay safe. Cheers. And Kit, I know, Chelsea fan, but thanks for coming on and supporting the channel. Again, give a shout out to your channels.
Sure, mate. Thanks a lot. Firstly, Chris, great guy. Craig, always, great to be with and great to listen to. First and foremost, I am found in the chat of Leicester Till I Die TV because I love the channel. So for anyone out there, definitely that's one place that I can find me because you want to subscribe to this channel. But yes, my content, as Chris alluded to, I definitely cover a lot of Chelsea content, but I am covering a lot of other content as well recently on football. So you can find me as RCBN Chelsea Fan TV. RCB is a cricket franchise. So yes, once in a while for cricket lovers out there, I do have some content as well. So RCBN Chelsea Fan TV on YouTube, as well as on Instagram, on Twitter, as well as Facebook. I'm available as Ankit Rana. That's my name. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Cricket. God, we're worse at that than we are at football. Ankit, mate, stay safe as always. Come on, England. Let's enjoy the game on Sunday. And we'll speak soon. Take care, bud. Stay safe.
Yes, cheers.
And it leaves the two handsome ones. And we'll be right back after this.
It's the Euros 2020 with Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV.
I'm going to say happy birthday to Doug. I mean, he's been out on a birthday meal with his girlfriend, and he still comes into the Leicester Till I Die chat. That's what we're. And he's not even a Leicester fan. Not even a Leicester fan. I hope you had a good one, Doug. And it's your birthday today, so careful how I say this. I hope you get what you wish for. Yeah, let's move on. But happy birthday, mate, Greg. We're going to do it, aren't we?
I've got a sneaky feeling, you know, after all of this and all my criticism of Gareth, and not just me, let's add that, that he seems to have found a way. I don't think it'll be easy watching by any means. It'll be edge of the seat or behind the cushion, but I've just got a feeling that somehow we're going to do it.
You know, I always say that I find it harder to watch football at home on the telly than I do when I'm at the ground.
Yeah,
you know, the ground, you can't go anywhere, you know, you're stuck between, you know, other fans, you know, in the middle. But at home, you get up, and I always joke, like, you know, I've got to go and buy a dog because I need to take the dog for a walk. And normally it's the last 5 minutes of the match. For Denmark, it was the last 5 minutes of the match and the whole of the extra time. And when it came to the penalty, and you got whoever was doing the ITV commentary, Sam Matterface, was it saying, like, whatever you do, don't look through your fingers, don't turn away from the screen. And I'm going, you're joking. I'm in the bloody toilet. I'm not even watching it. I'm just listening to it.
You know, that's what it's like. It's football, isn't it? I mean, it's you know, whether it's England or whether it's Leicester, you know, every game grabs you and gets you in one way or another. And that's why we love the game, though. It is.
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, this is England, and being Leicester fans, we know, don't we, what it's like. We were one of the biggest clubs that for shooting itself in the foot, you know, we at Leicester. And, you know, England have promised so much over the years. But I don't think it will be, I mean, if we lose it, I don't think it will be the end of the world for us.
I don't think it'll be the end of the world. You know, it's like anything, or, you know, when you get in a semi-final or a quarter-final, semi-final, all you're thinking of, wouldn't it be great to get to the final? When you're in the final, you want to win the final.
Of course you do.
I think it would hurt. I think it depends how we play. If we play well and beaten by a better team, I think you can take that. You know, if we sit defensively and we just get overrun and get beaten badly, then, you know, not so good. But at the end of it, they've got us somewhere that we've not been for 55 years. So,
well, this is it.
Just enjoy it.
You know, as I said before, when we were talking about Southgate, you know, we've had, you know, in the last three tournaments, this one included, we've been in three semi-finals. Mm. You know, we're now in a final. We've come fourth, we've come third, we can come at least second. You know, this is we didn't even do this good under Sir Alf Ramsey, did we?
No, and I think the encouraging thing, I was talking earlier today, the encouraging thing is, look at the average age of this squad. You know, this isn't a squad that's just going to fall to pieces after this game, whether we win it or whether we lose it. This is a squad that's going to be together for a few years.
Yeah.
Look at the players that didn't even make it. Harvey Barnes, Maddison for two from us. James Justin would have been very close.
Yeah.
Trent Alexander, you know, got injured. He's not made it. Wan-Bissaka, probably the best one-on-one defender, didn't make the squad. These are all young players as well. So there's a lot to be encouraged by for England going forward, regardless of what we do in this game.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at that. I'm just laughing when you were going through there, because there's a famous Talk Sports call where a fan rings up and says, like, why wasn't this guy playing? I think it was for Scotland, and it was because he was Danish. Sorry?
Antti Niemi.
That was it, yeah.
He's finished.
He's going, yeah. What do you mean he's finished? He's still playing. And it was like, classic. But yeah, I mean, just very quickly looking at Alf Ramsey, I mean, 64 European nations, which they had back in the day then, failed to qualify. 66 World Cup. Euro 68, third place. 70 World Cup quarterfinals. Euro 72, failed to qualify. 74 World Cup, failed to qualify. So technically speaking, I could say Southgate, obviously, you know, he's not quite as many tournaments, but it's a good time to be an England fan.
It is. Again, I was talking recently, you know, I felt cheated as a kid, because when you're getting excited by football, I was 10 and 14 when we didn't qualify for two World Cups back to back in 74 and 78. We didn't even qualify for the World Cups. So I felt cheated. You know, young kids today or fans who have started following football since we won the league, you know, are enjoying this. You know, all they've seen so far is England getting close to things. You know, we've not had not even the heroic failures. We just had some failures.
Yes.
But we've been slowly improving. The team has bonded better. Young players are coming in. As I say, we won't have a better chance. You know, we're at home in a final. We're not going to get a better chance.
I didn't realise, but looking at that, I mean, under Ralph Ramsey, say Euro 72 failed to qualify. 74 World Cup failed to qualify. Euro 76 failed to qualify. That was Don Revie. 78 World Cup, like you've just said, failed to qualify. That was Ron Greenwood. Yeah. I mean, that was four tournaments in a row that we
My childhood, win. Chris. I'm trying to get over it.
No, my therapist says it's good to talk about these things. Get it off your chest. So, you know, big up Southgate, big up the team. To my mind, yes, I want us to win. I think we'll win. I've gone for the 2-1. But even, like I say, if we lose it, I think we're still going to be proud of the lads. But hang on there a minute, because I'm just going to play now something, because we've got something new and exciting coming up that starts next week, and you're heavily involved in. So we're just going to tell everybody about this.
Okay.
It's the Big Fat Football Quiz with Leicester Till I Die TV.
So you think you know your football?
Well, let's see.
Yes, I named it after myself, the Big Fat Football Quiz.
I'm glad you clarified that, Chris.
Yes. Oh, no, I don't. I don't deny it. Like I say, it's all the humble pie I've been eating over Raheem Sterling. Looking forward to it. It's basically a quiz we've got coming up, and I'll be hosting it, but the quiz master will be Eamon Andrews there, Craig, and I could have said Michael Barrymore, but I was being kind to you, and allegedly.
To be honest, Chris, let me just stop you there. I'm a little worried that when you were thinking of Quizmasters, they are the two that sprung to mind.
I'm desperately on the top of my head trying to think. I mean, Des O'Connor, he was a Quizmaster. Bruce Forsyth, I mean, he was the master. He was the master. But
you know, you've got Nicholas Parsons. It's the quiz of the week. And obviously Chris Tarrant and Jeremy Clarkson even more recently. So let's say I'm more of a Jeremy Clarkson. And if it goes well, hopefully I'll get enough money to buy a farm.
I was thinking Larry Grayson then myself for you. But
you keep those thoughts to yourself. And why you have to shut that door on the way out.
Boom, boom. But yeah, so we're going to start with a Leicester fan, and it's going to be next Thursday. Next Thursday at 7 p.m. And basically, we're going to be asking 20 questions, aren't we?
We are. And as you've done, it's going to be a bit like the Top Gear leaderboard that we'll see as as fans, we start with a Leicester fan, but then we're going to go through fans of other teams, testing them on their knowledge of their own club, a little bit of general football knowledge, and then the pièce de résistance, see how much they know about dear old Leicester City.
Yeah. So Reece says there he loves a quiz. Well, Reece, let me know, do you want to represent Manchester United? It's 10 questions on your home team, which are worth a point. There's 5 questions on the Premier League, which I believe is worth 3 points. Is that right? And then 5 questions on Leicester City, which are worth 5 points as well. But the questions, you have assured me here, Craig, the questions will be based on the contestant's age. So for Reece there, who was a young spring chicken, we won't be asking you questions about Manchester United in the 1950s or mention the
unless,
FA Cup final.
Unless, you know, they are facts that any proper Man United fan should know.
Yes,
you know.
Of course. So, yeah.
But no, I won't be asking him who scored the third goal in a 4-2 victory away at Newcastle on a Wednesday night in 1953.
he's suddenly gone quiet. Maybe he's left. I don't know. But he's not volunteering, is he? So I'm not sure about that. But yeah. So we'll see. We'll hopefully have maybe more than one from each team. But yeah, we'll hopefully start with Leicester, get them to the top for at least a week. a bit like Leicester under Peter Taylor. We'll have a break so that we stay top longer.
Yeah, good idea.
just the one show, a series of one. We'll start. You know, a bit like Sam Allardyce as England manager.
Yeah.
Craig, thank you so much for coming on, mate.
You're welcome.
Enjoy the game as much as you can.
I shall try. And you know, may the best team called England win.
Exactly. And Reece has just volunteered to be the Man United fan. So well Excellent. Done, Reece. I'll contact you with a date. We start with a Leicester, we have a Burnley, we have a Tottenham, and now I've got a Man United. And we'll have an Arsenal, but they'll come in the bottom half. We know that straight away. Enjoy the game, wherever you're watching it from. Have a drink on me, mate. Thanks Cheers. A lot. And next time we speak, let's hope we're European champions.
Exactly. Thanks, everyone. Cheers, Chris.
Cheers, mate. All the best. So thanks to Craig for joining us. God. At least there's one good news. There is one piece of good news about all this. The fact that it's over tomorrow, that I can actually now change my lucky underpants. You know, 4 weeks, they actually get up and walk over to me in the morning now. Yeah, right. All right. Enjoy it on Sunday. Come on, England. Southgate, football's coming home again. Sweet Caroline, all of that. We're going to win it, aren't we? Come on, England. See you on Monday night for the post-match show.
Hello, Matt Elliott here. Be sure to watch Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and follow all their social media platforms for all the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Fun doesn't have to stop here. If you have any questions, suggestions, or feedback, head over right now to Twitter and Facebook and like, share, and get involved. Join us next time.